This is the first of a series of lectures covering income tax on trusts. We shall start by looking at income tax on interest in possession trusts. However, before we do so, we will first establish a few basic principles. A body of trustees is a legal body of persons with a separate legal capacity and identity. Therefore, trustees are liable to income tax on any income arising from trust property in their capacity as trustees. The tax affairs of the trust are always kept separate from the individual tax affairs of the various trustees. Change of trustees will have no effect on the income tax treatment of trust income. The same categorization system applies for trusts as it does for individuals. Rental income will be taxed under the rules for property businesses, and bank interest will be taxed under the interest rules, and so on. Income tax computations for trustees are prepared on a tax year basis. The same self-assessment rules apply to trustees as they do for individuals. For example, trustees will file a trust return no later than the 31st of January following the end of the tax year, and they should accompany that return with a calculation of the income tax due. Penalties for late filing and surcharges for late payment of tax apply in exactly the same way. Personal allowances are available for individuals only. No personal allowances are available to reduce trust income. Therefore, when we are preparing income tax computations for trusts, no deductions will be taken for such things as pension contributions or gift aid payments. When calculating the income tax liability of a trust, the same rate of tax will apply regardless of the level of trust income. For example, the various rate bands which apply for individuals do not apply for trusts. For this reason, an income tax computation for a trust is usually far less complicated than it is for an individual. The computation is further simplified by the fact that the trustees usually have very few sources of income. Trustees will normally invest funds in either land or buildings, producing rental income, in government stocks or cash deposits, producing interest income, or in shares or securities which produce dividend income. It is possible for a trustee to carry on a trade. For example, if a sole trader died, leaving his business to a trust, although this is relatively unusual. A trustee cannot be an employee, therefore trustees will never receive employment income. The sources of income in a trustee's tax computation are usually restricted to the three you see on your screen. The income tax position for the trustee of an interest in possession trust is relatively straightforward. If an interest in possession trust receives rental income, the property business profits, after allowable expenses, are fully charged at the basic rate of 20%. The same rate applies regardless of the level of income. Property business deductions are exactly the same as they are for individuals. These will include such things as genuine repairs, interest on a loan taken out to purchase the property, and wear and tear allowance for furnished lettings. If the trustee grants a short lease and receives a premium in return, part of that premium is chargeable to income tax, again at the basic rate of 20%. Any interest received by a trustee, whether on bank or building society accounts, or on government stocks, is wholly charged at the basic rate of 20%, regardless of the level of the income. As you'll see, if an interest in possession trust receives bank or building society interest or gilt interest which has already suffered tax at source, the tax liability of the trustee is fully covered by the 20% tax credit. Interest in possession trusts will therefore only pay additional income tax on untaxed interest. Dividend income is taxed on the trustees at the normal dividend rate of 10%. As all UK dividends are deemed to have been received net of a 10% tax credit, this credit will extinguish the trustee's liability, leaving no further tax payable. Credit for tax deducted at source is given at the bottom of the computation in the normal way. As you will see, therefore, interest in possession trusts will only pay additional tax on untaxed income. In the majority of cases, this will be rental income charged at the basic rate of 20%. Interest in possession trusts are not allowed to take a deduction for any expenses incurred in managing the trust. These expenses can be likened to personal expenses incurred by an individual, i.e., they cannot be deducted anywhere in the income tax computation. The only expenses that can be deducted are those relating specifically to a source of income. These will generally be restricted to such things as letting expenses, which are deducted at arriving at property business profits. Remember that in an interest in possession trust, the beneficiary, i.e. the life tenant, is entitled to the net income of the trust, and the trustees have no power to accumulate or withhold the income. Therefore, income received by an interest in possession trust will flow through the trust and out to the life tenant. An interest in possession trust can be likened to a money box. Money comes into the trust, the trustees will incur some expenses and pay some income tax, and what is left in the box at the end of the year must be paid to the life tenant. We shall look at the tax position of the life tenant later in this session. Here we have an interest in possession trust with a life tenant called Jeremy. The income of the trust for 2010-11 should now have appeared on your screen. You will see that the trustees have received rental income, net bank interest, and some UK dividends. The trustees incur letting expenses of £6,000 and general trust management expenses of £1,800. What we will do is put together the income tax computation for the trust. The pro forma tax computation for a trust is exactly the same as it is for an individual. You will see from the screen that we differentiate between non-savings income, interest, and dividends. Let us start with the non-savings income, which here is the rents. The letting expenses of £6,000 are specifically deducted from rental income, giving a profit of £20,000. The trustees receive net bank interest of £4,800, which grosses up to £6,000. The final source of income is net dividends, which gross up to £10,000. The total income of the trust is as per your screen. As no personal allowances are available, the total income will be charged to income tax. The rental income is fully charged at the basic rate of 20%, giving tax of £4,000. The bank interest is charged at 20%, giving tax of £1,200. The dividends are taxed at the dividend rate of 10%, giving tax of £1,000. The bank interest and the dividends have suffered tax at source, so we can give appropriate credit at the bottom of the computation. You'll see, therefore, that the trustees have a liability of £4,000 in respect of the rents and no further liability in respect of the bank interest or the dividends. The tax payable by the trustees under self-assessment is therefore £4,000. As you'll see, the income tax computation is very straightforward, and you may not feel that such an elaborate computation is necessary. It is perfectly acceptable in this instance to say that the trustee's liability is simply the net rental income multiplied by the basic rate of 20%. Finally, note that no relief has been taken for the trust management expenses of £1,800, as these are not deductible in calculating the income tax liability. As we have mentioned, the net income of the trust after taxes and expenses will flow through to the beneficiary. No income will be accumulated in the trust. In the previous example, the interest in possession trust received rental income, bank interest, and dividends. On the previous page, we calculated that the trustee's tax liability for the year is £4,000. The final outgoing of the trustees in the year is the trust management expenses. These totaled £1,800. The remaining cash in the trust at the year end will thereafter flow to the life tenant. The next stage in the process is therefore to work out the amount of income which the trustees can distribute to the beneficiary. This income is taxed on the beneficiary in the year in which it arises. As this income will already have been taxed in the hands of the trustees, the life tenant will receive taxed income, and this income will need to be reflected on his self-assessment return. The trustees received rental income, bank interest, and dividends. The gross income before tax is £20,000, £6,000, and £10,000 respectively. This gross income will have suffered income tax within the trust. The trustees paid £4,000 under self-assessment in respect of the rental income. The bank interest suffered 20% tax at source. The dividends were received net of the notional 10% tax credit. The net income after tax is as per your screen. The trustees cannot distribute this net income to the beneficiary, as during the year they will have incurred trust management expenses. We know that the trust expenses were £1,800, but the question is, are the expenses paid out of the rental income, the interest, or the dividends? It is a general principle of trusts that trust management expenses are deemed to have been paid from dividend income in priority to interest and rents. We therefore deduct the £1,800 of expenses from the dividend column, leaving income distributable to the beneficiary as per your screen. If the trust has insufficient dividend income, expenses are next deemed to have come from interest income. If interest has been extinguished, expenses come finally from rental income. If expenses exceed income for the year, there is no distributable income and the expenses will be carried forward and deducted from income arising in future years. Once the trustees have arrived at the figure of distributable income, they will certify that income and the tax deducted at source to the beneficiary on a tax deduction certificate known as a Form R185. The trustees will certify that the beneficiary has received net rental income of £16,000, bank interest of £4,800 and dividends of £7,200. Therefore, the total income payable to the beneficiary for the year is £28,000. This is net income from which tax has already been deducted at source. The £16,000 is rental income net of a 20% tax credit. Essentially, the beneficiary has received rents of £20,000 from which tax of £4,000 has been deducted. Secondly, the beneficiary received net bank interest of £4,800. This is gross interest of £6,000 with an appropriate 20% tax credit. Finally, the beneficiary is deemed to have received a net dividend of £7,200. If we gross up the £7,200 at 100 over 90, this gives a gross dividend of £8,000. The tax credit attaching to this dividend is £800. This is exactly how the income will be certified on Form R185. The appropriate gross figures will be entered onto the beneficiary's tax return. If the beneficiary pays tax at the 40% higher rate, he'll pay an additional 20% on the rental income, an additional 20% on the bank interest, and an additional 22.5% on the dividends. If the beneficiary's total income exceeds £150,000, such that his income is taxed at the marginal rate of 50%, he'll pay an additional 30% tax on rental income and interest, and an extra 32.5% on dividends. If the beneficiary is a basic or lower rate taxpayer, or has losses, etc., to set against this income, the tax credit attaching to the non-savings income and bank interest can be recovered. The tax credit attaching to the dividend income is a notional credit and will never be repaid. If the beneficiary receives an overseas dividend from the trust, it will be grossed up both for the UK and the notional overseas tax credit if appropriate. It is common in practice for the life tenant to receive interim distributions during the year from the trustees. Such interim distributions are ignored for tax purposes, as it is the distributable income, as certified on the Form R185, which is taxable. For example, in the above illustration, the trustees may make monthly distributions of, say, £2,000, so the beneficiary will receive £24,000 of income during the year. Once the trust accounts and trust tax return have been prepared, the income will be certified on the Form R185 and a balancing payment, in this instance £4,000, will then be made to the beneficiary. It is unusual for trustees to have deductible payments from total income, but the most common deductible payment in practice is the payment of an annuity to the beneficiary. If a beneficiary has an annuity, he or she has the right to receive a fixed sum of income from the trust each year. In this sense, an annuity is very similar to an interest in possession, as it gives a beneficiary a right to income from the trust. Unlike a normal interest in possession, the annuity will be fixed and will not vary year on year depending on trust income. If a beneficiary is entitled to receive an annuity from an interest in possession trust, he will do so net of basic rate tax. In most circumstances, the annuity is expressed as a gross amount.
The trustees will withhold 20% tax at source and pay the net amount to the annuitant.
The gross annuity is deducted by the trustees as a deductible payment. As is the case for individuals, the deductible payment is deducted from non-savings income in priority to interest and dividends.
The basic rate tax withheld from the annual payment is paid by the trustees to the revenue at the end of the year on the normal due date. This has the effect of increasing the trustee's liability in the income tax computation. The trustees will provide a tax deduction certificate to the beneficiary, certifying that he or she has received a net payment from which basic rate tax has been withheld. The recipient of the annuity will pay any higher rate tax on the annuity via his self-assessment return. Here we have an interest in possession trust. The trustees are obliged to pay an annuity of £5,000 to Albert, and the rest of the income is distributable to the life tenant, who is called Lionel. Albert is entitled to gross income of £5,000. However, the trustees will withhold basic rate tax at source.
Albert will therefore physically receive £4,000, and the tax withheld of £1,000 will be paid by the trustees to the HMRC at the end of the year. Albert will receive a tax deduction certificate from the trustees, certifying that he has received taxed income.
In 2010-11, the trustees received income as per your screen. You will see the trustees have received rental income, gilt interest paid gross, and UK dividends.
The trustees incur expenses of managing the trust, such as bank charges, accountancy fees, and a portfolio valuation fee. Our requirement here is to calculate the income tax payable by the trustees. We will start the computation in the normal way. The trust has rental income of £30,000. Gross gilt interest is £15,000. Gross dividends are £2,000.
The gross annuity of £5,000 paid by the trustees to Albert can be treated as a deductible payment.
The charge is deducted from non-savings income in priority to other income, leaving taxable income as shown on your screen.
The net rents of £25,000 are fully charged at the basic rate of 20%. The bank interest is charged at the basic rate of 20%. There is no extra tax on the dividend, as it is wholly extinguished by the 10% tax credit. The tax liability at this point is £8,000. However, the trustees need to account for basic rate tax on the annuity. The tax on the annuity is £1,000, taking the total tax liability of the trust up to £9,000. The tax of £1,000 held from the annuity and paid to HMRC can be claimed by Albert as a tax credit. The trustees will provide Albert with a tax deduction certificate certifying that he has gross income of £5,000 from which £1,000 has been withheld at source. To complete this example, let us look at the tax position of the two beneficiaries. As we've mentioned on the previous page, the trustees will provide Albert with a form R185 certifying that he has net income of £4,000 from which £1,000 has been deducted at source. If Albert is a higher rate taxpayer, he will pay an additional 20% on this income under self-assessment. The life tenant is entitled to the balance of income in the trust after the annuity has been paid to Albert. The gross income of the trust, after the payment of the annuity, is as per your screen. Basic rate tax has been withheld from the rental income and the gilt interest, and a 10% tax credit attaches to the dividend.
Finally, the trustees need to account for expenses, as these expenses reduce the entitlement of the life tenant. The trustees incurred bank charges of £1,000. These will be deducted from dividend income. The trustees incurred accountancy fees of £1,500. £800 of these fees will be met from the trust dividends, thereby reducing the distributable dividends to zero. The balance of the accountancy fees, i.e. £700, will be paid out of the interest, reducing the distributable interest to £11,300. If you recall from the example, the trustees incurred a portfolio valuation fee of £750. Expenses incurred in relation to the capital value of the trust do not reduce the income entitlement of the life tenant. This £750 will therefore be deducted from the capital of the trust and will ultimately reduce the value of the remainderman's share.
The income distributable to the life tenant therefore totals £31,300. The rental income of £20,000 and the interest are deemed to have been received net of the 20% tax credit. These net figures and the tax thereon will be certified to the life tenant on Form R185.
Although in practice most annuities are expressed as a gross amount from which basic rate tax is deducted at source by the trustees, annuities can be expressed as a net amount. Such annuities are called free of tax annuities. The purpose of a free of tax annuity is to guarantee the beneficiary the same net amount each year. This ensures that the annuitant will receive the same amount each year even if the basic rate of tax subsequently changes. The payment received by the annuitant is then grossed up for basic rate tax.
At the moment, payments will be grossed up at 100 over 80 to reflect a basic rate of 20%.
As with normal annuities, the gross amount of the annuity is deducted from non-savings income in the trust as a deductible payment.
The trustees are required to account for the basic rate deducted to the revenue. This increases the tax liability of the trustees for the year.
If the annuitant is due a tax repayment, for example because his income for the tax year is covered by personal allowances, etc., the tax deducted at source by the trustees, or a proportion of it, must be repaid to the trust. This is because the annuitant is reclaiming tax that was paid by the trustees.